Ok, good. ¿Estamos listos? Ok, ahora no puedo empezar porque tenemos un problema. All the men are sitting in back. And is there some rule that boys and girls can't sit together? Is there some kind of rule like that? So before I start, the guys now to come to the front. And we need to mix the boys and the girls. No, that's not good enough. No. Okay. It's all girls over here. All right, chicas. Come on. Okay. All right. Mejor. No todos. Okay, it's better. All right, tonight I have two topics. Number one, I'm going to talk about why I, as a scientist, feel that I must believe in God. And the second part, I'm going to talk about why, as a scientist, specifically, I believe in the Bible. So let me tell you my own personal story. The quick version. When I was in high school, I went to church with my family. But the church didn't emphasize the Bible. I was the guy who carried the cross around. And I was the president of the church youth group. But I didn't believe in God. And I smoked a lot of marijuana. I was kind of a knucklehead, I don't know how to say it. So I went to the university. And I was a proud atheist. But then I started to study physics and chemistry. And I began to realize there has to be a God. So then I began searching. I didn't assume Christianity, not at all. I was more attracted to Buddhism or Hinduism. Buddhist and Hindu. So I became a vegetarian. And I did the mantra. But then, when I was in graduate school in my doctorate, I thought, maybe I should read the Bible. Let me try that. And very soon after that, I became a Christian, 43 years ago. So, part one, why I, as a scientist, must believe in God. You probably have friends who laugh at you for believing in God. That's not cool. I want you to have confidence in your belief in God. So I'm going to consider two options to think about the nature of things. First would be the atheist view.
La primera es el punto de vista de los ateos.
It would be represented by this statement by Thomas Huxley.
Y ese punto de vista es bien representado por este caballero, Thomas Huxley.
He was a friend of Charles Darwin.
Era amigo de Charles Darwin.
Por favor, lee.
Thomas dice, somos tanto el producto de fuerzas ciegas como es la caída de una piedra a la tierra, o el flujo y el flujo de las mareas, acabamos de suceder, y el hombre se hizo cara con una serie de accidentes singularmente benéficos.
Just an accident.
Estamos aquí por accidente.
Another statement would be that we lost one. Oh, that's okay. Another idea would be this. I need to borrow somebody's cell phone. Okay, guys. So, this idea was created by a physicist. It's called the watchmaker argument. Yeah, the watchmaker argument.
Watchmaker?
The one who makes the watch.
Oh, okay. So,
But I'm going to use a more modern example.
Okay, voy a usar un ejemplo más moderno.
Instead of a pocket watch,
en vez de un bolsillo,
a cell phone.
Voy a usar un celular.
Now imagine you see the cell phone there.
Imagínese ver este celular en el piso.
How did it get there?
¿Cómo llegó ahí?
Maybe just an accident.
Quizás un accidente.
No design.
Sin ningún deseo.
No design. Okay, so maybe there was some plástico, metal, some silicon, some glass, car ran over it, cell phone. Do you believe that? That's crazy. Think about the simplest living thing. The simplest bacteria, which is like a nano factory of unimaginable complexity. There's more design in a bacteria than there is in a cell phone. But there are people who believe a cell phone could happen by accident. It's atheist. So, two possible explanations of...
Existen dos posibles explicaciones.
It's all luck.
Es todo por suerte.
No purpose, no design.
Sin propósito, sin diseño.
Or maybe there's a designer.
O quizás hay un diseñador.
And if there's a designer,
then
that implies the existence of God. In fact, I think instead of a cell phone example, I might use maybe a 747. Imagine there's a junkyard. Yonke. A yard of yonke, a junkyard.
A junkyard?
A junkyard. And then, imagine there's a cyclone.
So basurero,
it blows through the junkyard. And all the junk is thrown up into the air. And then you get a
747.
Do you believe that? Or do you think there's a designer of that 747? Here's my point. The universe is obviously designed. Which means there's a designer. Which means there's a God. So I'm going to give you just a few examples. First, from chemistry. By the way, I'm a chemistry and physics professor. So every example I'm going to use tonight is from what I lecture in my normal classes. Now hopefully, you didn't need this title. Hopefully you didn't need that title. You see, H-O-H, you're thinking water already. Okay. Now, I could teach an entire one semester course just to explain all the properties that are unique to water. And if water didn't have that property, then there would be no life. A few examples. In order for life to exist, there has to be a liquid solvent to dissolve the different substances. It couldn't be a gas or a solid, obviously. Or solid. And scientists will tell you that it needs to be a liquid somewhere between about minus 20 centigrade and about 80 centigrade. Below menos 20 grados, it could not sustain life. But above 80 degrees, the molecules fall apart. Now this liquid has to dissolve a wide range of substances. Many different kinds of molecules. And also ionic compounds like salt. So guess what liquid dissolves more substances than any other? It's water, of course. In fact, in the range from minus 20 to 80, water is the only liquid that dissolves ionic substances. The only one. Ionic. Yeah. And without ions, you can't have a nervous system and a brain. Okay. Also, another property of water. Water absorbs a lot of heat. A lot of heat. 10 times more heat than almost all substances. The same substance that's a liquid at the right temperature that dissolves the widest range of substances also absorbs the most heat by far. Why is that important? Otherwise, the temperature on the Earth would go up and down by 200 degrees centigrade. In one day, and then all life would disappear.
la vida en la tierra desaparecería.
Now, water has another very important but also unique property.
Además de lo que hemos hablado, el agua tiene otra propiedad única muy importante.
You probably never thought about it. But in water, the solid floats on top of the liquid. Normally, cold things sink and warm things float. Guess how many? There are millions of compounds. Millions of compounds. Guess how many have the solid floating on top of the liquid? So why does that matter? Well, here in Santo Domingo, it actually doesn't really matter very much. But in the winter, el invierno, no tiene invierno aquí, pero para los en Wisconsin tiene invierno. The cold water, the cold ice is on top of the warm water. And ice does not conduct heat very well.
And the ice?
It doesn't allow heat to pass through very well. Otherwise, the lake freezes to the bottom in the winter. And during ice ages, the ocean freezes all the way to the bottom. And all life would disappear. Now, there are several other properties that water has that no other substance has. But maybe you get the idea already. Accident or design? Which makes sense. The atheist says, just lucky. I say, well, that's really lucky. Okay, let's see if we can go to the next slide. Okay. Maybe this one makes you very nervous. You're sweating right now. Now, when I teach chemistry, I tell them that the Russian scientist Mendeleev invented this chart. But actually, that's not true. I believe God invented this chart. His fingerprints are all over it. There are at least 22 elements that have a property that no other element has. And if that element didn't have that property, there'd be no life. And we wouldn't be here to talk about it. I have a question for the atheist. Why are there so many elements? I have no answer. Let me give a few examples. One example is carbon. I teach organic chemistry. If you're going to be a doctor or a biologist or a chemist, you're going to take organic chemistry. My wife was a student of mine in organic chemistry. That was interesting. But when I teach organic chemistry, the first two classes, I explain all the properties that are unique just to carbon. That no other element has. And if carbon didn't have those properties, all of those properties in the same element, there'd be no life. Okay, let me explain what I mean by that. Oh, there's many slides that are missing. They took like 8 slides out. Like almost all of them are missing. Yeah. And even the text is completely messed up. Maybe they could use the English version or something like that. Almost all the slides are not even there. Okay, pero continuamos, okay? For example, you know, we don't really need PowerPoint. I have a good friend, he's a principal at a school. He says, here's my PowerPoint. He's a principal. That's a joke. Okay. Anyway, one property unique to carbon is that it has 4 bonds. One, two, three, four.
Okay.
Conexiones? Four bonds. Come on, somebody who takes chemistry. Okay, that's what I thought. Okay. Now, by the way, carbon is not the only element that forms 4 bonds. Also, silicon forms 4 bonds. But if you join 2 silicon atoms, the molecule explodes. That would be a problem. So why is it important to have 4 bonds? Because if you have 1 bond, the molecule is a line. If you have 2 bonds, it's also a line, linear. If it's 3 bonds, it's planar, it's flat. But if you have 4 bonds, then it can be 3-dimensional. And if you don't have 3-dimensional molecules, then you don't have 3-dimensional living things. 3-dimensional living things. And that's important. But that's not the only property carbon has. It's the only element that forms large molecules. And if you don't have large molecules, then you don't have a living thing. And it also forms rings. And many other properties that carbon has that no other element has. Okay, another element. Iron. Iron has a property that no other element has. It's the only element that forms a strong magnetic field. Why is that essential? Because otherwise, how could you put your homework on the refrigerator? Yeah,
Yeah, on the refrigerator.
No, that's not why. It turns out the sun produces a lot of energy. Now we could talk about the amazing design of the sun. But almost all the energy from the sun is in the form of visible light. Lucky for us, because that's the only kind of light that can cause chemical reactions to happen. Without destroying the molecules. But there are two kinds of energy that come from the sun that would destroy all life. One of them is the solar wind, the high energy of particles. And that would destroy all the life on the earth. But the earth is magnetic. And it acts like a force field. So the particles go around the earth. Maybe you've heard of the aurora borealis? The aurora borealis? That's from those ions. Due to the magnetic field. And when humans go to Mars, a big problem is going to be that energy. So they'll have to build a shield. But God gave the earth a natural shield. But there's another fact about iron. Not only is it the only magnetic element, it's also the most stable element. Guess what element is the most common one in the earth? Iron, of course. Because if the only magnetic element was not also the most common element, we wouldn't exist. Very lucky, don't you think? Tanta suerte, ¿crees tú? But no, I say it's not luck. I say, thank you, God, for designing iron. Another example is oxygen. Oxygen has two forms. O2. That's the one that we breathe. And it's the only element that supports high energy life. But there's another form, O3, ozone. Yeah. And so there's another kind of energy from the sun. Ultraviolet light. And again, it would destroy all life on the earth. Except ozone is a protective layer against the ultraviolet. So this amazing element has two forms. Near the surface, there's no ozone.
Aquí en la superficie no hay ozone.
But up there, there's a lot of it. And it protects us from the ultraviolet. And the other kind of oxygen is all down here, supporting life. So I have a question for the atheist. Can you explain that? How did that happen? Remember what the atheist said? Oh, it's just an accident. I don't think it's an accident. Okay, one more example. Uranium. Very dangerous, right? Radioactive, right? True. But not as dangerous as you think. Because uranium has a very, very long half-life. Four and a half billion years. Lucky for us. Another property of uranium is very, very dense. Denso. And that means almost all of it is in the middle of the earth. Where the radioactivity releases heat. The radioactivity creates heat. Otherwise, the Earth would be solid all the way to the middle. Now, that would be a very big problem for us. Because then you can't have plate tectonics. You know how the continents. That's a massive recycling system. Which recycles the minerals so that the earth remains fertile. Also, if uranium wasn't radioactive, we'd have no atmosphere. So if you want to live on a planet with almost no uranium, go to Mars. Mars. Go to Mars. Marte? Okay. But it has almost no atmosphere. And it's sterile. It can't grow anything. Okay, another example. See if we get lucky here. There we go. Now, biochemistry. I'm sure you've heard of DNA. It has those nucleotides. G, C, A, and T. Three nucleotides. Nucleotides. Yeah. Is a code.
Es un código.
Three nucleotides.
Makes
an amino acid to make a protein.
Crea el amino ácido que hace la proteína. Debería de hacer un curso de química antes de ver.
Okay. Now I have a question. Could molecules just randomly bumping into each other? Could that create a code? Could any sensible person believe that? But atheists believe that. And there's so much information. In humans, there are 3 billion of these. Oops. Yeah. $3 billion. That's the amount of information in a small library. Think about the simplest living thing. Maybe a bacteria. 100 million of those. So, that's a lot of information. It'd be like taking 10 million letters, 100 million letters, like A, B, C, D, F, A, throw them in the air, and when it landed on the ground, you could read it in Spanish, and it would make sense. Could that ever happen? If you did that 1 billion times. If you did that 1 trillion times. That could never happen. That's impossible. But there's people who believe that's exactly what happened. They're called atheists. But really, there's even a bigger problem than that. Because the only thing that makes proteins is DNA. But the only thing that makes DNA is proteins. Do you know about the chicken and the egg? Which came first, the chicken or the egg? I have a question for the atheist. Which came first? The protein or the DNA? Because here's what must have happened. One time, completely by accident, in some place, all the DNA happened by accident. And in the same place, the same proteins that would have made the DNA also happened by accident. Could any rational person believe that? See, this is why, as a scientist, I have to believe in God. There are so many more examples, but now I'm going to talk about physics. This is not even coming close. Okay. Now, before about 1950 or so, antes que 1950, scientists were convinced.
So before 1950?
1950 or so. Scientists were convinced.
Okay, antes de 1950,
that the universe was eternal. Forever. Is that because of the evidence? No, that's not why. Because there's two possibilities. Eternal? Are created. Now, atheists don't like created They don't like that choice. Because if the universe was created, then there has to be a creator. So they said, no, no, the universe is eternal. But then they discovered that the universe is expanding very quickly. It's called the redshift. I don't know how you translate that. The redshift.
The redshift?
Yeah.
No idea.
Okay, you're definitely not a physicist.
Okay.
It's like this.
Okay.
When a race car comes by, a race car. Right? When something is going away, it's a lower frequency. And the distant objects have lower frequency light. And so that means the universe is expanding. Which means it used to be small. So they invented the idea of the Big Bang. And then later they discovered this radiation that fills the universe that came from the Big Bang. Now the physicists say the universe was created. At one point in time, all the matter, all the energy, and even time itself came to exist. Before that, there was nothing. Not even time. Well, that's interesting. Because the Bible says, by faith we know that the visible things were created by something invisible. And according to physicists, the universe came to exist in a big flash of light. Like the Bible said, let there be light. But that's not all. Would you agree that that's a small number? Would you agree that's a small number? Un numero pequeño. Very small. Now, here's the thing they discovered. So surprising. They were looking at the size of the force of gravity. Gravity is a very weak force that works over great distances. Here's what they discovered. If the force of gravity was smaller than it is, by that fraction, esta fracción, then planets and galaxies would never have formed.
Sorry.
Then planets and galaxies never would have formed.
Okay. So, entonces, los planetas y la galaxia no podrían
formar. No existen.
Yeah, no existen.
But if gravity was bigger than that number, by the same fraction, when the universe was created, it would have collapsed. Now, how lucky is that? It would be like this. It would be like this. Do they have lottery here in...
Lottery?
Yeah. They have lottery here?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say you won the big lottery. What would your friends say? Pretty good. But maybe you should not play the lottery. Maybe you shouldn't play the lottery. What if you won the big lottery again the next week? What if you won the big lottery again the next week? You'd be in jail, right? Right? You'd be in jail. In El Carcel. This number, the probability of the force of gravity having the correct value, it'd be like winning the big lottery 6 consecutive weeks. Right. And obviously that's impossible. Therefore, obviously, it's impossible that it was an accident. It was not an accident. The only possible explanation is that God made the universe with exactly the right gravity. And by the way, there are many, many more examples. There are at least 30 examples of factors about the universe that have to be very, very precise. All of them at the same exact time. No, they all have to be within that very narrow range, all of them at the same time, in the same universe. So I tell you this. Don't be intimidated by atheists. Their idea makes no sense. It's not possible. The universe was created by a very powerful creator and by a very smart creator. Anybody who knows science has to believe in God. Alright, so which God? Remember, I came to believe in God, but I had to do some searching. Like a typical young person, I was a little bit rebellious.
You are rebellious?
Yeah, like almost all young people, I was a little rebellious. So, I didn't look at Christianity, not at first. So, part two. Why the Bible? Why Christianity? Now, our atheist friends say, no scientist could ever believe in the Bible. Obviously. Because there's so many obvious science errors in the Bible. I'll tell a story. One time I was in a van with about 8 other science professors. And one of the scientists said, Christianity, what a stupid religion. I don't know how anybody could believe in it. I don't know how anybody could believe in that. She said, did you know that in the Bible it says if you wear clothing with more than one material like silk and wool or cotton, capital punishment. I said, excuse me. The Bible doesn't say that. She said, yes, it does. I saw at a website. Guess where she didn't see it? In the Bible. So I said to her, you know, people say there's so many science errors in the Bible. I've read it at least 5 times. I've never found a single science error. I think those people don't know what they're talking about. It got so quiet in that van. And then I pulled out my Bible. And I had to find that verse. It's in Leviticus. Could you find that verse? The one that talks about two different materials? I said a quick prayer. I said a short prayer. In my Bible, I knew it was on the right-hand side. About halfway down. And I found that passage. It doesn't say capital punishment. Here's my point. These unbelievers, they're so confident, but they're so wrong. So it's our job to help them out. So I'm going to give you just a couple of examples, because we don't have much more time, of things in the Bible that show scientific wisdom. Now this is Papyrus Ebers. It comes from Egypt, roughly 1500 BC.
Este papiro fue encontrado en Egipto y data de unos 1500 años antes de Cristo.
And it's a collection of medical advice.
Y es una compilación de consejos médicos.
Okay. Are we going to be able to forward this thing? Come on now. Okay. For example, let's just do the second one.
Yeah. Decía que los papiros de Ebers, para prevenir las canas, debe ungir el cabello con la sangre de un pecero que ha sido hervido en aceite o con la grasa de la serpiente de cascabel.
Obviously, I've not been using that. Obviously, I'm not using that. Another example, the second one.
La mezcla de seis razas, especialmente del caballo, del hipopótamo, del cocodrilo, del gato, de la serpiente y del bisonte, para no perder el pelo.
Obviously, I also have not been using that. Now, that's funny. But really, it's not that funny. The average lifespan in Egypt was about 20 years. Not because people couldn't live longer, but because most people died of an infectious disease. Now, some of the medicines used in Papyrus Ebers included the teeth of pigs. And even the liquid from their ear. And even excrement as medicine. Okay, put that on there. That would help, right? Now, what about the Bible? People say, obviously the Bible is full of science errors. It's just human wisdom. If that's true, it would be like Papyrus Ebers. But it's interesting, if you read the Bible in Exodus 15, it says, no traeré sobre. Yeah, okay. So what the Bible says, if you obey the commands I'm giving you today, you won't have the diseases of your neighbors. A few examples. Maybe you know in the Old Testament, there were rules about what meat you could eat. Beef, yes. Pork, no. Mariscos, no. Pescado, yes. Okay, now, it turns out, every meat on the don't eat list is dangerous and causes many diseases. And every meat on the yes list is safe. I was in Venezuela a few years ago. I speak Spanish mostly. Venezuela. But I couldn't read the menu. So I said, bring me that one. It was a plate of raw beef. And I thought about Leviticus. I ate the whole thing. But pork, cerdo, has many, many diseases. Trichinosis, which would kill you. Trichinosis. It's a trichinosis.
Yeah.
Also, mariscos, many, many diseases. Make sure you cook it very thoroughly. But fish with scales? Last night for dinner, I had sushi. Now, maybe you say, oh, that's just an accident. But all the other peoples ate all these different kinds of meat. All the other nations. And so many died. But the Jews, they were saved. A couple more examples. If I get lucky, I'll have a slide. Maybe he could hit the button for me. Okay, good. Oh, no, skip that one. Okay. Oops. Go back one. Okay, good. Nope, forward. Come on, forward one. You can do it. All right. This is also, it's in Numbers. Read that one. Okay, so what it says is if you touch a dead body, Unclean. Separate for 7 days. On the first day and the last day, you wash yourself with this special water. That seems cruel. Because the one that prepares the body for the funeral, which would be the family, they couldn't even attend the funeral. So why would God say that? Well, I think I know why. This man, his name is Ignaz Semmelweis. Ignaz Semmelweis.
Okay.
He worked in a woman's hospital. Woman's hospital. In that hospital, 18% of the women died in the hospital. The last place anyone would want to go was a woman's hospital. The last place anybody would want to go is a woman's hospital. This is before germs were discovered. So here's what the doctors would do. They'd come in the morning. They would examine the bodies of the women that had died. And then they go right up and start dealing with the living women. We say, crazy. So he said, you have to wash your hands with soap and water. And the deaths went from 18% to 4%. He said, that's enough. That's not enough. Even when you touch a living patient, then you touch another living patient. He says you have to clean your hands with soap and water. Now the Bible says, when a woman gives birth, she's unclean. Or when she has her period, she's unclean. Why is that? Because God hates women. No, that's not why. Because He loves women. Because when a woman gives birth, even when she has her period, much possibility of infection. So he said, wash your hands between every patient. The deaths went down to less than 0.5%. Using the advice from the Bible. Now, we know about germs, right? Why didn't God tell them about germs? What would He say? There's these microscopic things. They say, what's a microscope? Now, you would think they would say, oh, so amazing, Semmelweis. Hero. No, they fired him. And the deaths went right back to what they were. Now, there's something interesting about the formula. It said water, ash from a fire, ash, hyssop, a plant, una planta, con aceite, Y este aceite tiene este molécula,
sí.
Thymol. Yeah.
So, toda el agua que utiliza el sopo se crea un aceite, y ese aceite tiene esa propiedad.
Now, I teach organic chemistry.
Como profesor de química orgánica,
we have a name for that kind of molecule.
Tenemos un nombre para ese
componente químico. Fenol. En español, fenol. And here's what I tell my students. This compound, it's not poisonous to human beings, but it kills bacteria. It kills bacteria. You know that medicine smell in a hospital? It's this compound. So God's formula, when you touch a dead body, is to wash your body and everything you touch with a powerful antibacterial soap. I believe in the Bible. I believe in the Bible. Now, I only have time for maybe one more example. We could talk about leprosy. How the Bible successfully solved the problem of leprosy. Also, in Leviticus 17, it says this. It says, the life of the person is in the blood. Do you know the most common medical treatment in the 1800s? It's phlebotomy, bloodletting. The scientists said, if you're sick, the disease is in the blood. The Bible said, if you're sick, the life is in the blood. Well, who was right? Where do we have our natural immunity? Literally. It's in the blood. The white blood cells and your immune system. Okay, last example. It's in Genesis. It says, on the eighth day, circumcise the male children. Ouch! And it's a little dangerous, too. So why circumcision? And why the eighth day? I don't know. But if God tells you to do something, just obey Him. It always works out. Even if you don't know why. But I think I know why. In ancient times, almost everybody died from an infectious disease. For example, bacteria. Where do bacteria grow? Where do they grow? When it's dark and wet and warm. So where is the place on a guy that's dark, wet, and warm? Yeah, on a guy. How many lives were saved? Mainly women's lives were saved.
La vida de muchas mujeres también se salvaron.
The rate of spread of AIDS. It's reduced by 2/3 if the man is circumcised. But the Bible has a better solution to AIDS. Even better than circumcision. One man, one woman for life. Completely prevent AIDS. But why the eighth day? Right? Circumcision on the eighth day.
Right?
Why not the first day? Why not the 12th day? I think I know. In order for blood to clot, you need vitamina K. But when a baby is born, they have none. Because it doesn't pass through the placenta. Now, the vitamin K doesn't make the clot. It's this protein. But vitamin K makes
proton.
So, where do you get vitamin K? Where do you get vitamin K? From bacteria in your gut, in your intestines. Baby is born, eats from mommy, gets bacteria, and then vitamin K, and then this compound. I'm going to show you a graph. I'm going to show you a graph. Prothrombin versus number of days. There it is. It's hard to read. The best day.
From the
best day from the day of birth till the day they die to circumcise a male child.
It's
the eighth day.
Yeah.
So, as a scientist, I have to believe in God. It's not even rational to not believe in God. In Romans 1:20, the Bible says, we are without excuse. Romans 1, verse 20. It says, those who don't believe in God have no excuse. I say, especially the scientists. Which God? Well, from the evidence I've seen, the God of the Bible. Okay, it's a little late, but we have time maybe for some questions, I hope. Maybe. Do we have time?
Sí. Okay, perfecto, sí. Bueno, el público pregunta
sobre ciencia y la Biblia.
Sobre la ciencia y la Biblia.
dinosaurios, evolución, la edad de la tierra, cómo existen Adán, Eva, dinosaurios, evolución.
La universidad, ¿no? Hay muchas personas con quienes van a compartir la fe, que le van a decir,
mejor,
que soy ateo, no creo en Dios.
¿Preguntas?
Aquí arriba.
Adelante.
No, primero que nada, darle las gracias a John por permitir esta conversación para hablar y compartir con
nosotros.
Yo personalmente, yo puedo compartir que
me personalmente, I can tell.
Por ejemplo, una materia en particular, una social, siempre tenía como la duda en.
I always have actually the doubt.
Siempre tenía la duda de los inicios en cuanto a Génesis y a lo que uno le dice.
So I want to talk about the Genesis. The beginning of the universe. So if actually the dinosaur actually
existed.
So I see like the Bible doesn't mention that, we have no knowledge about that. I'm wondering if I should believe the existence of these creatures, like the dinosaurs.
Okay, first of all,
thank you for the question, and I'm going to answer that question, but I want questions from the students, not from the adults. But thank you for that question, I'll answer that question. But the next question is going to come from a student. So he's asking about dinosaurs, right? Now, the Bible does not mention dinosaurs, correct?
His quote actually of this book is helping over there. So.
What's that?
So, the guy who asked the question,
he's
part of the campus ministry.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, so he's helping over there.
Yes, joven. Aparece antiguo. Okay. Perdóneme. Okay. All right, so he's asking about dinosaurs, right?
You should believe.
Well, does the Bible mention dinosaurs? Of course not. If God said Tyrannosaurus Rex, the Jews would say, what's that? I have no idea what that is. You have to understand the audience of Genesis. They were Jews. And they had no science background at all. The creation story in Genesis 1, it's a story to explain to simple people. The creation. Now God says the first day and the second day. The Jews did not take that literally. To them it meant first God did this, and then he did this. Now what the Bible says, first there was light. And then there was a planet. And the planet was covered with water. And later, as the earth cooled, the land appeared separate from the water. And then later, life appeared in the water. And after that, on the land. And more complicated kinds of life. And then humans. Right, that's exactly what happened. Even in the right order. But those days should not be taken literally. You have to understand the kind of literature in the Middle East 3,000 years ago. And so the Bible doesn't mention dinosaurs. The reason is dinosaurs disappeared 65 million years ago. The Bible doesn't mention dinosaurs for the same reason it doesn't mention bacteria. The Jews would have no idea what he's talking about. And besides, this Genesis story is not a science description. It says God created everything from nothing. He created the universe and the planet and the ocean and the land and life. And at the very end, He created us in His image. He doesn't mention evolution. The Jews would have said, evolution? What's that? God could say, oh yes, over many, many, many millions of years, the species changed. Number one, it's not a scientific account. And number two, the Jews would have said, what? So everything in Genesis 1 agrees with science. Agrees with science. As long as we don't take those days literally. And personally, I don't think they were ever intended to be understood literally. And besides, that's not important. The age of the earth is not important. What's important is the nature of God. God the Creator. At the end of the creation, He said, it's all good. So, obviously I believe in dinosaurs. But they're not mentioned in the Bible because that was so long ago. And by the way, the Bible does not mention evolution. But what a brilliant plan. God's plan to allow animals and plants to change over time. In order to adapt to changes in the climate. So God invented evolution. And I say, very good, God. Good plan. Okay. Next question. Okay, right there. El Cercano.
What happened to Noah and Noah's
ark? Where am I going to get it? Me, hablo en inglés y luego la cabeza está en español.
Ah, lo que pasó con el arca de Noé. Sobre el diluvio, como cubrió toda la tierra, que tuvieron dos
now in English.
So the events and the story of Mozart, do we have any scientific evidence that that happened? Like the water, the flooding of the world?
Yeah. Let me talk about the flood. It's very important, especially for the young people among us, to separate the things I believe because of the evidence from the things I believe because it's in the Bible. Let me give because of the evidence. Let me give an example. Because of the evidence, I believe the universe was created. I believe life was created. I believe the Bible is inspired by God because of the evidence. I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead because of the evidence. But I believe David killed Goliath because the Bible says so. I believe in heaven because the Bible says so. Now, about Adam and Eve, I believe in Adam and Eve specifically because the Bible says so. I don't think we'll ever find a cave somewhere. A cave somewhere. Which says, Adam and Eve slept here. What could we even discover? But I believe in Adam and Eve. Because I believe in the Bible. Now, what about the flood? That's a little bit different situation. Because every single ancient culture, from every part of the world, has a myth about a flood that affected the whole world. And so I believe there was a flood that affected the whole world. Now that's not scientific evidence. That's cultural evidence. And it's anthropological evidence. But also, Jesus believed in the flood. And he did raise people from the dead. He did walk on water. And he was raised from the dead. And if Jesus believed in the flood, I believe in the flood. So let me remind you, especially when you're still young, as you're trying to decide, what do I actually believe in? Trying to decide, what do I really believe in? Not because my parents did. That's not a good enough reason. Right? Because your parents believed it, that's not a good enough reason, right? You have to decide what you believe. So look, learn to separate what you know from the evidence existence of God, creation of the universe, creation of life, inspiration of the Bible,
la inspiración de la divina,
resurrection of Jesus,
la resurrección de Jesús,
other things you believe,
y otras cosas que crees,
based on those things.
Se está basada en esas cosas.
Christianity requires faith. It requires a lot of faith, but not blind faith. There's so much evidence to support blind
faith.
So, to answer your question, Adam and Eve, I believe because it's in the Bible. The flood, it's a mixture. Yeah. Okay, next. Okay, back there or there, whichever. Okay. Next question after this. A sister, a girl, a woman, a girl. Okay, go ahead.
De los rumores que siempre van cambiando y cambiando con la gente y siempre quiero hablar de así, también pudo haber pasado eso.
So, there are actually rumors that the Bible had been changed over time by people.
Did you come to church last night?
¿Viniste a la iglesia anoche?
Probably not. It's okay.
No, está bien. Porque eso fue el tema de algo que quizás no viniste, pero está bien.
Go to my website.
Vea mi página web.
Right there.
Esta, evidenceforchristianity.org.
I put the lesson from last night at my website.
La clase de anoche está ya colocada en esta página web. También está en YouTube, en la página del canal de YouTube de la iglesia.
I spent about 30 minutes explaining that.
So, duramos hasta 60 minutos explicando esta parte.
Those who say the Bible was changed, either they don't know what they're talking about, or they're lying. Now, I'm not going to explain that right now, because I explained that last night. It's from the manuscripts. And from the quotes of the early church writers. They show that that's impossible. We have manuscripts from within 50 years of when it was written. And we have thousands and thousands of ancient copies. Eso es mentira. Okay? Gracias. Oh, a female. A girl. No, a girl. He's not a girl. We need a girl. I'm sorry. Okay. Oh, good. Okay. I'm fine.
So the question is, a follow-up question of the flood. So after the flood, where actually life
okay.
we start? If it was with Noah's family.
Yeah. Okay, first of all, I will have to say this. I'm not completely sure, to be honest with you. Now, I believe that the flood affected the entire earth. Exactly what that's like, I don't know. But we have a record of the flood in South America.
Tenemos ejemplo de una inundación en América del Sur.
We have a record of the flood in North America. Also in Australia. And in Asia. That's evidence to me personally that there were survivors in the area of the Middle East. Maybe the only survivors were Noah and his family. The only ones, maybe. But let me give an example. You know about koala bears, right? Koala from Australia. Koala. Right? Koala. Okay. Personally, I don't think koalas crawled all the way from Australia across the water and showed up in Mesopotamia. Personally, my opinion, it was the local animals that were on the ark. But that's just my opinion. God could do whatever He wants. He could wipe out all the koalas, and He could make a new koala. I don't know. I wasn't there. But the evidence is there was a worldwide flood. It was a miraculous event. And the purpose was to judge the sin of humanity. But she's a very smart girl to notice that question. I don't have complete answers to every question. But that's my opinion. Okay, now we can take a guy, I guess. Back there, sure. Whichever. Okay. Okay, another girl. Okay, she's next. Go ahead.
So this Wednesday,
okay. Hoy en la universidad salió un debate acerca de las religiones y hicieron tres preguntas las cuales no sabían la verdad cómo contestar.
Primero,
si verdaderamente
at school they had actually a discussion about religion.
Primero, si verdaderamente existe un Dios, ¿quién existe por encima de él?
That is one of the questions they were discussing. If there is a God who exists above Him, and the second one. So the question is, so one of the questions they were discussing, if at the beginning existed only Adam and Eve, so how they continue to reproduce.
Okay, that's a good question. Okay, now as you know, when animals and when humans reproduce, it produces genetic mutations. God said, don't marry your sister. Or your brother. Why? In my opinion, because it's not safe. Because of the possibility of genetic disease. But I believe Adam and Eve were more perfect. Which explained why they could live longer. And also why a brother could marry a sister. Not to us, dude. But I'm telling you, Think about it. Eve lived a few hundred years. How many children did she have? Maybe 40 children. I don't know, a lot of children. I'm telling you, eventually, I think they started to, you know. And if we live that long, the human population would grow very, very fast. So that explains when Cain went away from the Garden of Eden. There were a number of people. Okay, we have another sister. No, sister. Okay. He's been waiting a long time.
His question had a second part.
Okay.
His question has a second part.
Hay un ejemplo claro que está en Génesis sobre la torre de Babel. Pero yo tengo la duda porque entre los primeros barcos fueron creados 5.000 años antes de Cristo con los egipcios, que ya eran un tipo de civilización real. Y la torre de Babel dice que las personas se dividieron por idiomas, culturas, y eso fue mucho antes de la creación de Cristo. Y quisiera saber cómo continuaron.
Okay, so his question is how human beings actually expand all over the earth.
Yeah.
So he understands that at the beginning, the Bible talk about Babel, so how people were actually divided by tongues, but also it happened, it seemed like that even happened before the Egyptians, they built the pyramids.
Yeah.
So. She needs to understand how people actually arrive, for example, in America and
yeah.
parts of the world.
Well, I think the way they got to America is they walked.
So that could be the last question.
Aww. One more. The way they got from... The way they got to America is they walked. I don't know when the Tower of Babel happened. But probably it's a story about the people in the Middle East, in Mesopotamia. All the people in the area of Mesopotamia had one language. And they built this tower. They said, we're going to get to God. God's looking down, he's saying, I need to stop that. Were there other people in other parts of the world at that time? I really don't know. One thing I know is humans are good at is traveling from one place to another. So I'm not sure I see what the problem is there, honestly. Okay, one more question. Okay? It's late.
The last one.
We need to go home. I'm tired. La última pregunta.
Cuando nosotros estamos en cualquier motivo, nos mandan acerca de la vida del universo y de la evolución.
Y
de la evolución. Porque los científicos dicen que nosotros evolucionamos del mono o que también fuimos criados de polvo celestial. Pero que la Biblia, cuando leemos, Dios se
Okay.
Mi pregunta es que okay.
So the question is, give an example. In fourth grade, they teach them about the evolution.
Okay.
As human being, we came from the monkey.
Right.
So it's like the Bible doesn't talk about that.
Right.
How should we address that?
Yeah, the Bible does not discuss evolution. Basically, the Bible said God created all species. It doesn't say how he created those species. It just says he created them. Now, are all of them related like you learned in your evolution class? I really don't know. In your evolution class, you learn about this tree, right? There's some evidence that that is not what happened. There was an event called the Cambrian Explosion.
The Cambrian?
Cambrian Explosion.
Cambrian Explosion, you have idea?
Like for sure? Cambria.
Eso mismo.
And in this time,
en ese tiempo,
around 450 million years ago,
que cerca de 4.5 millones de años atrás,
every different category of animals seemed to come at the same time.
Cada categoría de animales aparentemente salieron.
So it appears that God created different kinds of animals.
So es aparentemente es el tiempo, la época donde Dios creó diferentes tipos de animales.
And then they evolved.
Y luego evolucionaron.
Now let's talk about genetics a little bit.
Ahora si hablamos de la genética.
The fact is,
el hecho es,
our genetics,
nuestra genética,
are very similar to the apes.
Es muy similar a la genética.
Let me give an example.
Por ejemplo,
all mammals make vitamin C.
All mammals
make vitamin C.
They make?
Yeah, they make vitamin C. Their bodies make vitamin C.
Okay, so sus cuerpos producen, ¿cómo se llama?
Vitamina C.
Vitamina C.
Okay, but there are a few that don't.
Pero hay algunos mamíferos que no producen vitamina C.
The ones that don't make vitamin C are humans, chimpanzee, gorillas, orangutan, and bonobo.
Which one?
Bonobo. It's another ape.
No.
Like chimpanzee.
So, es de la misma familia del mono de
chimpancé.
El mono pequeño es el ape.
And one other.
Y hay otro más.
Guinea pigs.
Ese es el cuerpo es su espina. No, el cuerpo de what?
Guinea pigs. Like little pets that you have. No importa. Okay. Now, we have the protein to make vitamin C. But it doesn't work properly. Because there was a mutation. Yes. And the gorilla, the chimpanzee, and the human, they have the same mutation. But the guinea pig, it has a different mutation.
¿Cómo se llama?
Conejillo de India.
Okay.
Gracias.
Has a different mutation.
Tiene una mutación diferente.
So here's the point.
The
evidence from DNA.
Las evidencias de la DNA
say that there's a common ancestor.
dice que existe un ancestro común entre nosotros.
That's what the evidence says. So, we should not ignore that. Or put our head in the sand or something like that. Now, I already told you I believe in Adam and Eve. I already told you. I believe in Adam and Eve. But why do I believe in Adam and Eve? Because it says so in the Bible. And who knows? I don't know exactly what God did. Maybe he took an intelligent, evolved creature. And put his image in them. A conscience. Morality. A spirit, a soul, and transform that evolved creature into somebody in God's image. I don't know exactly what happened, but I believe in Adam and Eve. I believe God created a man and a woman in His image. Because one thing I know did not evolve. Our spirit did not evolve. Our soul did not evolve. Morality did not evolve. These things were given to us by God. And I believe God gave them to Adam and Eve. I believe God gave those things to Adam and Eve. But the biological evidence, it agrees that we are closely related to the chimpanzee, the ape, the gorilla, and the orangutan. Yes. Yeah. It appears there's a common ancestor. There's a reason scientists believe in evolution. It's because the evidence supports it. I believe in evolution too. I also believe in the Bible. And I believe everything in the Bible is consistent with everything I know from science. Including evolution. Okay, it's late. I'm afraid we need to end. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Good job. You must be tired. You must be very tired.
A little bit.
Too much energy. Speaking half the time for an hour and a half is not a big deal.
You're doing half, right?
I know, yeah. Because we started at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Mine says an hour. Oh, wow.
How long?
An hour and 50 minutes.